Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. My last audio file I did on God was a fencing term in order, or a French word for coming to intention before an engagement in a conflict. Father, we thank you and praise you. Holy is your name. Holy Lord Jesus, we come before you because of the blood of Yeshua. We thank you that you give me the tongue of a ready writer, that I will articulate clearly what is in my spirit and what are you trying to say in this hour. In Yeshua's name I pray. On God, and then the other night I was restless and praying, and I got up and I was just talking to the Lord, and I got these phrases in this order: on God, touché, plié, enchanté, soirée, fini, if you want it to all rhyme. And these are all French words, and this was opening. Each one was a petal of a flower that was going to open insight from the Holy Spirit. En garde has been given, and now touché. Touché means to move or to get in touch with. Touché, it means contact. It's used to acknowledge a hit in fencing, or the success or appropriateness of an argument, an accusation, or a witty point. It's French, to touch, from the word to touch. And the idea of touché in fencing is that you have touched somebody with the point of your sword, and they have been, it's a mark against them. You have achieved the ascendancy, as in a witty point. I think the Indians used to call it a coup. They would come by and touch their enemy with a stick, and they made a coup, and therefore they beat, or they won. They had victory over their enemy. To touch. And in the rules of engagement, I'm going to elaborate on the next level of engagement in the spiritual realm from the perspective of the eternal conflict, to touch. And this is what the Lord has revealed, that in intercession, because of what is happening with the ramping up of the occult, that there are three issues that we targeted the other day. And these are where the enemy is coming in. The surveillance society, the watchers, and the angelic interdimensional realm, in which one would see the all-seeing eye, the pyramid on top, the capstone pyramid on top of that has the all-seeing eye on it, a surveillance society in which all your moves are being watched in order to control you. It's an enslavement to the system. It's bondage into the beast. It is the counter of freedom in the spirit, liberty. The second point, touché, is the innocent blood that is being offered up for sacrifice, especially in cultures such as the Mayans or the Hopis, ancient cultures, even back to the cultures of the Genesis, Nephilim, who were cannibals, and they drank blood. Blood is forbidden because the life is in the blood. In 2 Kings 3, where the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, verse 26, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, so they departed from him and returned to their own land. The offering of human sacrifice for power, as in offering innocent blood, which the Lord hates, through abortion, the sacrifice of the flower of the youth for wars, in order for a culling of the population by those who are above and think that they are so, their intellectual prowess causes them to have places of privilege that the dumb cattle and animals that they need to herd and pen and corral do not have access to because they are so special. These are altars of blood for power, human sacrifice, offering up their children, the eldest son, in order to receive earthly temporal powers. Ultimately, they are altars of sacrifice, blood sacrifices to Satan. And then the third point is cannibalism. Cannibalism takes on a variety of forms, but it is devouring others to further yourself. That is the basic symbol form of cannibalism. And the ultimate disgusting version of it is to cannibalize your children and their future and their destiny in order to indulge yourself and live like kings. It is forbidden. It is forbidden to eat flesh of humans to humans. It is forbidden to eat, to drink blood. These things are forbidden because the life of the creature is in its blood. I wept. And the Lord weeps at the violence that is covering the earth in this hour, and the violence that is ramping up. And it says that in Genesis 6, in the flood, that the Lord was grieved at the violence he saw over the earth. In Genesis 6, 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this, in verse 11, that was verse 5 through 8. And verse 11 says, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Matthew 24 says, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the return of the Lord, meaning that violence and great corruption is operating, and there's tremendous grief at the wickedness and the continual evil of man's heart. That life will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and those who are wicked will not know until the flood will destroy them. Hence, we see that these things, that God becomes grieved, that he weeps when he sees this kind of corruption taking place over his creation, and that the evil that it has been given to is exacerbated. Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he had been teaching them the Olivet Discourse. It's called that because he was teaching them on the Mount of Olives, and they were asking him about the last days and what it would be for his demise and what it would be when he returned. His demise, which was his impending crucifixion. And he said he was going to leave, and they were saying, well, when are you going to come back? The whole multitude, he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered them and said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And I say to you that the stone that they rejected has become the capstone and the cornerstone of the temple, his body, his corpus Christi, the body of Christ." Now, as he drew near, he saw the city, that would be Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, he wept. Why? He said, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Jesus wept. He wept because he saw the coming destruction. He wept because he saw that the enemies of the Lord were in his own house and were not. That they were going to kill him and that destruction would come upon them and their children, and that Jerusalem was not what it's supposed to be, and that he wept because of the violence and the treachery and the false system that was not representative of him. They wept because they did not recognize the fulfillment of the temple and all the temple and feast days and the word and the covenants in him, that he was the fulfillment of that, that all those things prophesied of him, and that even the stones cried out and recognized him. And they did not recognize him. His own people was rejected and despised. Man of sorrows. And he was on his way to redeem the heavens and to ratify the covenant from the foundations of the earth in his own blood. So these are three issues: the watchers, complete control, innocent blood, and cannibalism. These things, the Lord, these are the ultimate. These speak of worship of the flesh, control. These all speak of a type of worship, of compromising and coming in agreement with the very evil and the satanic forces that oppose Yeshua and his work. Let's look at the antidote quickly. Psalm 2 says, "The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs in derision until he makes all his enemies his footstool." Touche. He laughs, and this is not a problem. He laughs in derision. He is in the process of making his enemies his footstool. And in that process, his enemies are being exposed for who they serve and who they are. Touche, touche, touche. Revelation number 5. Now, who is this King of Glory? Who is this King who's making all his enemies his footstool? Revelation 5. Who owns the title deed to the earth? At this point, and when Yeshua was tested on the Mount of Temptation, Satan had all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, "I'll give these all to you." So evidently it was in his power. They were under his dominion. The whole earth is under the sway of the Holy One. The whole earth is under the sway of the evil one. So he had the power to give to whomever he wants the kingdoms of this earth. And Jesus said, worship God alone. You should not have any other gods. And we saw in heaven, on the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Who has the words? Who has the title deed? Who has the mortgage title to the whole earth? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. They couldn't even open. The contents weren't even allowed to them. They couldn't even look at it. No one. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Don't cry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. How did this root tribe of David, the root of David, the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he prevailed? How did he prevail? We'll find out. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, this is the throne in heaven, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. This lamb is Jesus. He prevailed, and by his blood sacrifice on the cross, he prevailed, and he was worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And what comes out of this lamb? It's as though it had been slain. He was slain by his blood. He has redeemed all mankind. And we'll see that a little bit further in the song that sang, in the new song in heaven, that will testify to that. So this lamb here has seven horns and seven eyes. So much for the watchers and the surveillance society. The Lord is watching and sees all things, and they are all under his control. The only thing that is not under his control is those who have given themselves to worship the flesh and to be part and parcel of the beast. And the Lord is going to get the beast out of his bride pretty soon. He's in the process of doing that. His eyes are searching to and fro over the whole earth, looking for whom he can show himself strong on their behalf, him who is of a humble and contrite spirit. The Lord does this, and the horns are symbols of power, and these are perfected. He has seven horns, and it's by his blood, it says. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That would be the Father. The Lamb came and took, he went to the throne, Father's throne, which had the scroll, the words, the spoken words. No one could touch it but the Lamb, because he had his blood. He was slain from the foundations of the earth. He had seven powers of authority, his horns, and he saw perfectly. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, for you were slain, and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. His blood is redeeming and reconciling all things back unto him, the lamb slain. And he is not a cannibal. He doesn't devour his own. He made himself, he emptied himself and made himself a servant. And he, that was our instruction, is to serve. He came to serve rather than to lord it over and rule in a top-down hierarchical structure. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in the earth, heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And by him we are redeemed, and we are taken out to worship him. Who do you worship? Get in touch. Touche. I have just showed you the broad strokes of how the enemy works. And that his redemptive, by acknowledging his redemptive power and applying it, that worshipeth him, the word of the Lord is released and operates. God bless you. This is called, we start out with ungaled, touché, plié, enchanté, soirée, and finé. This has been touché, the second part. You can go on to the third part, plié.